Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Hallelujah. So tonight I'll be dealing with the subject of the believer's authority, because we want every believer to be able to manifest God's authority on his or her life. Listen, the time is short. Wherever you find yourself today, you must be able to establish God's kingdom. And when we speak of God's kingdom, we are talking about four realities. Number one is the realm of God's life. Wherever you find yourself, you must be able to administer the life of God. You may not have the opportunity to set up a religious platform, as it were, but when you carry life, you can transmit it, sometimes through sight, through words, through contact. But by all means, you must be able to communicate God's life, because that's what God's kingdom is. Jesus was speaking to Cornelius in John chapter 3, you read from verse 3, he said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot enter, see or perceive the kingdom." So it takes divine life for kingdom to be made manifest. So when we speak of God's kingdom, we are talking about the realm of God's life. Number two, when we speak of God's kingdom, we are talking about a realm governed by the will of God. So every believer must be able to isolate God's will and establish that will wherever he finds himself. Matthew 6 verse 10, Jesus was praying and he said, "Thy kingdom come." How? "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So the way your kingdom comes is when your will is established. So every believer should be able to communicate divine life, and every believer should be able to establish God's will. He can isolate it and establish it. That's what empowers him to become a kingdom agent. And then number three, we said kingdom speaks of divine authority. So every believer should be able to manifest God's authority. Jesus was speaking in Luke 11 verse 20. He said, "If I by the finger of God cast out devils," it means the kingdom of God is upon you. So when the authority of God is expressed, which stops the operations of darkness and every contrary government, then the kingdom of God is in expression. And then finally, the kingdom of God is the realm of God's wisdom. The Bible speaks of the wisdom of this world. It said it is sensual. It said, but there's a wisdom that is from above. That wisdom is pure. That's the wisdom of God. Because every time God wants to establish his mandate, it comes via the instrumentality of his wisdom. Paul was teaching in 1 Corinthians 2 from verse 6 to verse 7 as touching the establishment of God's kingdom or God's will on the face of the earth. And he said, "We speak wisdom amongst them that are mature." And he said, "This wisdom is not the wisdom of this world or of the princes of this world." So every spirit establishes his government via his own wisdom. He said, "We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery." And he said, "This wisdom was established before the foundations of the world for our glory." So the kingdom of God is established or expressed where God's wisdom, God's will, God's authority, and God's life are the animating forces of the context. If God's will, God's wisdom, God's life, and God's authority does not animate any context, that context is not God's wisdom. And if you find any context where God's will, God's wisdom, God's life, and God's authority animates, the presence of God becomes the ambience. The presence of God becomes the canopy. So when you find the kingdom of God, you find God's presence. Everywhere God's kingdom is, God's tangible presence will find expression. And this is what every believer must be equipped to do. This is not the work of apostles and prophets. Apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers are actually raised by God to equip the believers to advance the kingdom. In Ephesians 4:11, it said to some, he gave to be apostles. To some, he gave to be prophets. To some, he gave to be evangelists. To some, he gave to be pastors and teachers. For the equipping of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. So it is the saints that do the work of kingdom advancement. The fivefold ministry is primarily empowered to raise the saints to be able to do the kingdom business. So the kingdom business is the reason why you are here. Otherwise, what has God left you here to do? The way you profit God the most is when you are actively, profitably involved in advancing the kingdom. Jesus said, any branch that does not produce fruit is useless. It will be cut off and cast into the fire. Ministers of God are already overwhelmed because believers are not willing to do the work of God. I believe that's one of the reasons God began raising apostolic contexts like this one. So that people are raised. If I tell you what we do on a weekly basis, you'll be surprised. And we do it because the number is depleted. This week alone, I was in Casablanca in Morocco. And then I proceeded to Paris in France. And then I proceeded to Berlin in Germany. And then I spent one day in London before coming this morning. I flew overnight to come here. Guess what? My flight was rescheduled because we had a delay from Germany to London. Because of that, they told me the only flight they could put me on is tomorrow, to arrive Tuesday morning. And I have service today. So I had to sit on premium economy till morning. I sat all night to reach here, to come and preach. We are few, sir. We are few. Imagine if we had too many people in those territories. There won't be need to come. Everybody will man his gate. You won't need to move around the nation like, come on. Some of you, even in your neighborhood, we need to come there for evangelism to happen. Your neighborhood, where you are living. If we don't come there, there will be no evangelism there. The only time there will be evangelism on your street, it will be because the Holy Ghost moved the church to come and do evangelism there. And you wake up every day, you say, I have a very big God. Your street, you will need a church to be led of the Holy Ghost to come and do evangelism there before the name of Jesus is preached. We need to repent. God Almighty, who was and is to come, blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forever. Hallelujah. Now, if not enough to be willing, you have to be equipped. And one of the equipping for kingdom advancement is the equipping of authority. Jesus, after leaving, training his disciples for over 3 years, told them Don't rush out with lecture notes. In Luke 24:49, it said, tarry until you are endued with power from on high. You need empowerment to be able to advance God's kingdom. That's why tonight, I want to show you quickly from scriptures the basis of the believer's authority, the scope of the expression of the believer's authority, so that every believer seated here will be able to manifest authority. If you will manifest power and authority, then you will manifest kingdom. Because one of the spheres of kingdom expression is the sphere of authority. Now, there are many people who are so offended at God, because when they look at the way the world is, they are asking, if we claim God is powerful, why is the world like this? If we claim God is loving, why is the world like this? You need to understand. Now, it's important, by the way, to understand that the argument for the existence of God has already been crushed in scholastic spheres, not even church. Philosophical spheres have already crushed that argument. I've taught you here, those of you who remember, I taught you on the subject I titled, The Things Most Surely Believed Among Us. If you go to that message, you will find it. But just to help somebody as we kickstart, it's been established already that God exists. It's been established already that the world was created. In fact, the Bible says, a fool says in his heart, there's no God. So anybody who claims there's no God is either offended at God or is just being foolish. Because 1 John chapter 1, if you read from verse 1 to verse 5, it said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. It said, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. It said, in Him was life. The life was the light of men. And it said, the light was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. So every man that comes into this world, there's a measure of light in his spirit to know that there is God. In fact, if you read verse 9, it said that light is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. There's no man on earth that will act convince himself that he truly believes there's no God. There are two categories of people who claim there's no God. Number one are those who are offended at God. And number two are those who are foolish. The fool says in his heart, there's no God. So when you find people who say there's no God, this is where they are. But they don't even know. They don't even realize that that's what it is. Until they leave this body, then they will realize that thing they call intuition that was telling them all the while that what they are claiming is not true. They will see the reality in eternity. At some point, all of us will believe in God's existence. It's just a matter of time. Either you believe it here and be saved, or you believe it in eternity and regret. But one way or the other, you will believe, because you must see it. But in order not to go so religious with you, I began by telling you that even philosophically, it has been proven that there is a supreme being who does not just exist, but created the world. You go search the internet, go to Google, search. You'll find arguments like cosmological arguments. Everything that exists has a cause. Everything that exists began from somewhere. There's nothing that exists that does not have a force that initiated it. That force, that being that began everything that exists, is what we call God. You call him whatever you want, but at least know that there's someone like that who initiated. Have you seen something just rolling on its own? It doesn't happen like that. Anything that began, even Newton defined the law of motion, when he spoke about inertia. A force will be reluctant to move except
an external force is acted upon it. And when a force is moving, it will be reluctant to stop, except an external force brings it to a stop. So nothing just begins. It's the argument of cause and effect. They call it cosmological argument. The world did not just begin. Because since the world began, we've not seen any other thing that just began. So there is that argument. And there is also the teleological argument, which is the argument of design. You can't look at a man, for instance, and say he came from a blast. You go and study the eye, the doctors that are here. Find out how many ciliary muscles are in the eyes. Find out the coordination responsible for eye to operate. You check the brain. Find out how many billions of neurons are in the brain. Is that a product of explosion of chemicals? The teleological argument insists that the world is too orderly for an intelligence not to be behind its creation. This level of order we see in the world, there must be an intelligence behind creation. Randomness cannot produce this kind of order. Randomness rather produces more randomness. Is that entropy? Randomness cannot create this level of order. No, it's not possible, sir. Because has a tornado ever passed? And when the tornado left, you saw a city. Randomness can never create order. Everywhere you see order, there is an intelligence behind it. That intelligence is what we call creator. That is God. Number three, there is the moral argument. Our reverend just came from the prison. Even the murderer knows that he's wrong. Can you carry a child and slam that child on the ground? No, you can't. And even if you do, if you are callous enough, beastly enough to be able to do that, you will know you are wrong. You know why? There's a moral law in everyone. Everybody walking on the earth, even the beastly men, there's a law that defines evil from good, right from wrong. Everyone knows it. That's why you can't kill somebody and you go to the court and say, I didn't know it was wrong. No, all of us know what is right from wrong. That's called the law of morality. And the argument is that if there is a moral law, then there is what? A moral lawgiver. You can't have a moral law and there's no moral lawgiver. So there are over 8 to 10 arguments that prove the existence of God. But the question again is, if God exists, if God created this world, why do we have this level of wickedness upon the face of the earth? That is where you now come back to the law of the will. God created this world. Although he is sovereign, he didn't plan to run this world. He handed the earth to man to run it. So what it means is that man is actually the god of this world. When man handed his authority to Satan, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 3 and 4, Paul called Satan the god of this world. And if you study Psalm 116 verse 15, the Bible said, the heavens belongs to God. He said, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. So anything that happens on earth, man is responsible. Now, can God so pretend? Yes. But if God begins to so pretend over the time, all the time, then man will no longer be in charge. Imagine if somebody is falling from a 5-story building and you say, why didn't God hold him? If God holds that person, he has suspended gravity. Hope you know that holding that person will put every aircraft flying that moment at risk. Because the realm is governed by laws. So God cannot just violate the laws randomly. He expects man, who is in charge of earth, to take responsibility for earth. You say, that guy went to pull the trigger. Why didn't God stop the bullet? Hope you know that if God stopped that bullet from flying, every bird will stop flying. That moment, anything flying will stop. Hope you know if God stops that guy's will, every other person at that moment, their will will stop. Meanwhile, that's when a pilot wants to land an aircraft and his will is suspended. So God saves the one man from the bullet and know how many aircraft land every minute? Meanwhile, I landed this morning. And you think that we expect... It is the duty of man to keep the earth in order. When man, however, is overwhelmed and he calls upon the name of the Lord or takes advantage of the laws that governs the realm, then God can intervene. That is called the interventions of God. But God didn't plan this earth to be run by him so that everything that happens on the earth, he shows up. It will no longer be the word of men. It will be the word of God. The will of man will become useless. And if the will of man is useless, life will be useless. Because there will be no love. There will be no worship. No matter the emotion I have for you, I can't be able to express love to you if I don't have the rational component to make that decision. And even if I claim I love you, it may be a robotic kind of love. It is not really love. Because the will is not there to sanction that love. I can't worship God because I don't have a will. So the whole essence of humanity will become useless. Because it will be the word of God, not the word of men. So it's our responsibility. What's his name now? Reinhard Bonnke told a story. A man was angry that there's no God. If there's God, why is there evil everywhere? And Reinhard Bonnke looked at him and said, there are no barbers on earth. And the man said, no, there's a barbing shop. I'm standing before one. He said, why do men carry bushy hair? If there are barbers on earth, why are men carrying bushy hair? Because the hair can only be cut if you choose to cut it. So God did not create a world where he overrides the will of men. He created a world where men can exert their will to live and regulate the world. Unfortunately, the first time the man used his will, he allowed Satan to enter the earth. And when Satan entered, a parallel government was created. The man was supposed to be the mirror image of divine government. The only government on the earth. But unfortunately, he used his will, gave authority to Satan. So Satan, riding on the will of man, now has authority to find expression on the face of the earth. So Jesus speaking in John 10 verse 10, he said, the thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He said, but I am come. There are two governments on the earth now. And man was the one who warranted the second government to come into the earth realm. So everything happening now on earth that is ungodly was permitted by man when he gave authority to Satan. Now, when Jesus showed up, what Jesus did was he had to come in the likeness of a man. Because man is the one with the authorization for functionality on the earth. That was why God went through the rigor of going into the womb of a virgin. Because if he shows up as God, he will be violating his own law. So God had to become man. And when Jesus came as man, he now had legitimacy to also exercise will and to bring governance to the earth realm. And for that to happen, he needed to create an opportunity for every other man to be able to do that. So that he won't be the only person who can bring divine governance to the earth realm. So when Jesus died, he was taking upon himself the penalty of rebellion. Because when man turned against God, it's rebellion. And the law is that the wages of sin is death. So Jesus died for man, in the place of man, paying the price for man. But he did not only die. After he died, he rose again from the dead. And this time, when he rose from the dead, he now created a new order, overshadowing the old order. So every man who will bring God's authority to the earth must migrate from the old order into the new order. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15, you read from verse 45, it spoke about the first Adam and the last Adam. It said the first man, Adam, was a living soul, but the last Adam was a quickening spirit. Verse 46, it said, how be it that was not the first which was spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterwards, the spiritual. What it means is that the natural came before the spiritual. Then next verse, it said the first man is of the earth, earthy. The last man is the Lord from heaven. Verse 48 and 49 is my emphasis. It said, as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. Every fallen man is earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. Every regenerated man is heavenly. But you have to make that migration. So verse 49, it said, as we have borne the image of the earthy, it said we should also bear the image of the heavenly. What is the Bible telling us? Two orders exist now from the plane of divinity. Remember, there are two governments, the government of God and the government of Satan. Now, under the government of God, there are two orders. The first one gave up his authority, so he's a slave. The second one obeyed God, so he retained his authority, so he's a ruler. So the Bible is telling us, even though we are on the side of divinity, we must migrate from the first order of governance to the second order of governance. When we come into that second order, we will now be equipped enough to stop Satan. We will now be equipped enough to establish God's will on earth. The same way Jesus said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Every one of us can now say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in this life, if you will advance kingdom, you must grow in authority. If you don't grow in authority, you can't advance kingdom. And I showed you that there are five levels of authority. Three is available to everybody in Christ. Number one is the believer's authority. Number two is the priestly authority. Number three is the kingly authority. Every believer is expected to express the authority that is in Christ in this three order. Either as a son, or as a priest, or as a king. Then some are separated and given the fourth kind of authority, which is the ministerial authority. These are the four authorities in God's government. So for those who have migrated from the first Adam to the last Adam, are creatures of authority. But they will have to grow in the different cadres of authority. From the believer's authority, to the priestly authority, to the kingly authority. And if called, to the ministerial authority. All of that under sovereign authority. So we began our discussion, first of all, by attempting to understand what authority entails. I keep reiterating this because most of us don't know how to wield the authority we have. So even though we are beings of authority, we are oppressed. And the Bible said, a man in honor that knoweth not is like the beast of the field that perish. He said, I have seen an abomination under the sun. He said, princes are trekking, while beggars are riding on horses. We who should be establishing the world order are the ones who have been oppressed. And at the end of the day, because of our childishness and ignorance, we turn to God in lamentation instead of waking up and taking our stand. This is why you must understand the business of authority. And so very quickly, I said, for you to walk in authority, four things are a must. Number one, there must be the presence or availability of power. There is no authority without power. Because authority itself is the right to use power. So what Jesus did for us in the Holy Ghost is to supply power. Now, having supplied power in authority, he gave us the right to use it. So Acts 1:8, he said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So when you receive the Holy Spirit, amongst other things, you receive power. You didn't just receive eternal life. You didn't just receive righteousness. You also received power. And if you want to be sure whether that power is there or not, pray in tongues for a while. You will sense that power. If you want to be sure whether that power is there or not, fast for a while. If you want to be sure whether that power is there or not, meditate on scriptures. You will see that you are a package and an envelope of power. Because when the Holy Ghost came into you, He downloaded power. When you pray, what you are doing is that you are generating. You know the way you have hydropower? You are generating that power. But authority is your right to use that power. So every time we speak of authority, we are speaking about the right to use power. Number two, I say for authority to find expression, there must be jurisdiction. Without jurisdiction, there's no authority. I told you humorously, the president of Ghana is a president, but he can't come here and give anybody instruction. The president of Nigeria is a president, but he can't go to Ghana and give anybody instruction, because the jurisdiction of his authority is within the boundary of his nation. So every time there is power, you have the right to use that power, you have authority. Every time there is power, you have the right to use that power within a certain jurisdiction, you have authority. Genesis 1:28, when he gave man authority the first time, he said it's over the birds of the air, the fish of the waters, and everything that creeps upon the face of the earth. Many people have authority, they don't see it because they are always operating outside jurisdiction. So for authority to work, there must be the right to use it. There must be the availability of power. There must be jurisdiction defined. And then there must be the delegation or the right given. You read your Bible. Every time authority is mentioned, one word you'll find before it is given. Even Jesus, Matthew 28 verse 18, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. Authority is used when delegated. Is given. If you know this, it will become easy for you to wield authority. If I am going out and I want to exercise authority, I will check, is power available? If I don't sense power, what I will do first is to generate it. Because I know that I'm a power container. I don't just go out talking. I check, is power available? If I confirm that power is available, then I find out the context I'm going into. Do I have jurisdiction? If I have jurisdiction, I already know that authority has been given to me. So as I go there, I manifest it in bright colors. Somebody else may look at you and think you are special. You just showed up. Demons were screaming. No, it's not because you are special. You know how authority works. Power was available. There is jurisdiction over demons. And you have been given the right to exercise it. And then I said the fourth thing that makes authority to work is your submission to authority. 2 Corinthians 10. If you read verse 5, the Bible said, when your obedience is complete. Verse 6 now. When your obedience is complete, it said, then you will what? Avenge other disobedience. The man spoke to Jesus. He said, I am a man under authority. Nobody is on top of authority. All of us are under authority. So any authority you don't submit to, you cannot wield. The reason Adam lost authority was because he rebelled against God's authority. The moment he rebelled against God's authority, the authority no longer answered to him. So we said foundationally, in the understanding of authority, four things are a must. Number one, the right to use power. Number two, the jurisdiction to exercise power. Number three, the delegation of that jurisdiction. And number four, the degree of your submission. We say when these things happen with you, Then you are introduced into authority. And we said in the college of authority, there are four cadres. The first cadre of authority is what we call the exousia type of authority. And I said exousia is not the right to cast out devils. No. Most of us narrow our understanding of authority into specific operations. I said exousia is not the right to pray for the sick. No. I said exousia is the right to represent Jesus. If you represent Jesus, then everything Jesus does or would have done in a context, then you have the right to do it. Does Jesus cast out devils? You cast out devils. Does Jesus pray for the sick? You pray for the sick. So authority, exousia, is not just I can cast out demons. No. Authority or exousia is that when I am standing here, I'm representing Jesus. Anything Jesus would have done, if he were present in person, I have the right to do it. That's exousia. But I said it doesn't stop there. I'm going to talk about this again, so I don't want to overflog it. I said the second level of authority is what we call alke. Why exousia is the right to represent? And you'll find that in John 1:12. As many as believed him, to them he gave the right. This is where believers' authority actually starts from. So I will talk about it again. After that level, there is the alke. And I said alke means first in rank. That's the word for principalities. So what that means is that everywhere you come, everywhere you are admitted to, you are the head, not the tail. If you remain at the back, it's for a strategic purpose. But nothing under heaven can keep you behind. There is a power that you have in you that if activated and deployed, will always take you ahead. Colossians 1:16, Genesis, John 1 verse 1. That word, in the beginning. That word, beginning, is the word alke. It means first in rank. So when the Bible says, we are the head and not the tail, it's not motivation. There is a power to make that happen. And every believer who understands authority will see that over time, that power will start being realized in his life. Over time. Because he's growing in authority. First, in rank. Number three, I said the third level of authority is what we call kuriotes. Kuriotes is the word dominion. And what it means is rulership. What it means is that anywhere you find yourself, you were sent there to establish government. And this is where many Christians miss it. Some don't even know they represent Jesus. So if they are in the bank, they think Christianity begins and ends in church. On Monday when they go to work, there's no Christianity. They don't have an idea that every time they step into that bank, Jesus stepped in. Because they don't see themselves as his representative. Many believers don't know that everywhere they come to, the top is their place. See, the sons of the bondwoman know this. If they enter your country, they tell you, give us 30 years, we will take over this land. It's not ambition. It's to establish the will of a spirit. They know they are kingdom agents. But the believer is there 35 years. All he's thinking is, when I retire, I must get my gratuity. The question is, how much of heaven have you established here? He doesn't know that he's an exousia. He doesn't know that he's an alke. He doesn't know that he's a kuriotes. In fact, when you use the word kuriotes, what comes to your mind is that you represent a constituency. You know, the first time God created man and called man a dominion, he gave him the earth. So anywhere you go to, you were sent there. I told you, this is why we have mysteries. Your 10 toes are designed to open systems and territories. Your 10 fingers are designed to open the heavens. That's why he said, wherever the soles of your feet step on, I've given you. When you enter that bank, your toes open that organization. You've taken over. And then when you lift your hands, He said, let the lifting up of my hand be as the evening sacrifice. You open the heavens there. Meaning that you have brought an embassy to that place. It's the mentality of a curiosity. When we show up to take over. We don't show up to be part of. No. The kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. But Christ won't go there. That's why you went there. When you went there, Christ went there. You don't know this. Pray as you like. You are a religious man. Because you don't understand that you are an ambassador. You don't understand that you are a kingdom agent. This is why we are studying authority. So you move from a representative of Christ to first in rank. Can you put anybody before Christ? Why will you not be first in rank? If you represent Christ. Can you go to a country and then they call somebody before the president? And if you are first in rank, why won't you take over? He said, occupy till I come. Please, let this message change your mentality. Let it change you. The Bible says we are the salt of the earth. How come we are not being felt? I was telling them in Germany 2 days ago. I said, when you cook, you sprinkle salt. They don't pour salt. You can pour water, not salt. Because if you pour salt, the salt will take over. You can't even eat the food. But in the world today, there are 8 billion people, 2.6 billion Christians. We have been poured, yet they can't fill us. Jesus left this whole earth with 500 people. They took over their generation. Now we are over 2.6 billion. We are still nowhere to be found. I say that to awaken a body. You know what it means? If all of us become productive, it means one person wins 4 souls. We take the world in 1 week. But very few understand that they represent Jesus. Very few understand that they are first. Very few understand that they came to take over and establish a kingdom. And I said, finally, the 4th level of authority is what the Bible called basileus. It's the realm of kinging, the realm of reigning, the realm of majesty. It said he gave us abundance of grace. You know, you will need grace to operate here. Abundance of grace. Romans 5:17. And the gift of righteousness to basileus through life. To king through life. That's the level you get to where you don't talk. When they see you, there's an aura. They can't explain, but they know you are different. And when they want to do what is wrong, you look at them. Rays of radiation. Something will leave you. They will know that. Or God, they will start telling themselves, that new person that came, there's something about that person. Be careful. Some who think they are strong, they will come and test you for 1 week. Test you. When you now turn and say, what do you want? And they will say, no. It's where. When you are passing here, they will pass there. That's how you take over. You will bring a whole territory under the influence of Jesus. If you master these things I'm teaching you. The Bible spoke of a man called Saul. He sat in a place called Naioth in Ramah. You don't bring any contrary power there. Saul sent a battalion of soldiers to arrest David because David was a warrior. But when he saw that bows and arrows were not working, he went to somebody that had other weapons. And Saul thought it was a joke. Sent a battalion. When they showed up, they began to prophesy. People will gang up against you and say you are finished. When you come, another influence will hit them. Because you come with an entourage. They won't know why. They said they will finish you. They have even started gossiping. When you now showed up, out of the 7 people, 2 will go back and tell the boss you are innocent. They will start countering themselves. Because you come as a basileus. You come as a monarch. You come with a presence. And that presence manipulates your atmosphere. When Saul was frustrated, the Bible said he came himself. In his own case, he tore his clothes. He prophesied naked from night till morning. You think we can take this word by grammar? We must carry something that is celestial. We must carry something that is divine. We must carry something that is eternal. English is not enough. Jesus himself said, the words I speak to you, they are spirit, they are life. It's not grammar. You think it's dress code that we take this word? You read your Bible. You will find people called sons of Belial. They are men of mischief. They think evil. They are creative in wickedness. Sons of the serpent. Their nature is the nature of Satan. Those are the kind of people you confront. You don't go there with English, sir. I've met people who work in very esteemed parastatus. If they tell you their experience, a lady was made the head of is it BIRS they call it now, in a state somewhere. That's where they generate revenue. The moment she sat there, she knew that's not a chair, it's a throne. From day one, arrows started coming. Sometimes she will enter the office, and the moment she sits down, she'll start feeling dizzy and fall down in her office. It's not about sitting, it's about being enthroned in your own office. What the previous person was generating, she generated four times. Guess what? After she hit that record where she should be applauded, they blew air on the governor. Suddenly the governor turned. She became like a dragon. They expelled her from there. So it's not about I'm succeeding. No. What are you clothed with? You will think if I come, they will look at my records. They will look at my credentials. They will look at you first. When you say lift up your head, O ye gates, be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory might come in. They will ask you questions. But like Moses, when they ask you, who is your God? They are not looking for explanation. They want to see, by what power did you come? Drop your sword. Drop your rod. Drop your stick. When they think they know what you know, then your own will swallow their own. I prophesy to someone, you'll walk out of this meeting with layers of authority. A friend of mine works with the United Nations. First senior promotion he got, went for a meeting, a man walked in and God opened his senses. The guy was smelling like a fish. The guy said, did they eat fish somewhere here? Nobody ate fish. A fish came in the likeness of a man. He said, Satan can change into an angel of light. They can transform. The guy was smelling, and he was the only one perceiving because he had a priesthood. Oh my God. If you have not heard about the priesthood authority, go and listen to him. The guy was activated. So he knew. The moment he confronted the man, the guy was coming, everybody was. But when he approached the man knew this guy too is clothed. See, when they see you, they know. Look at you. You are the one who think they see your suit. They know those who wear glory. They know those who wear power. They know those who wear God. When the guy showed up, shook the man, Oga, they held themselves for some seconds. They were testing, which realm are you from? They were checking. After a while, the man withdrew his hand. And the guy was chewing in tongues. You know, there are times when you shake, but you are shaking your mind, your spirit. You are emitting radiation. You are emitting. I don't know. Some people shook hands in the office. They came home, became paralyzed. Because they don't understand that in the game of thrones, powers are the language they speak. Powers. When you enter the game of thrones, the language is power. Nobody speaks English there. If you don't carry what they carry, you will fall at their feet. Yeah. Ha! Hallelujah. Hey. 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 Vele Velikakana Baruada Baragababiata Baloskapai Suzazona Parito Haya Daro Kamantas Kavatia Shariata Peretona Zalitanai. Mango roto neveriata. See, what you read in the Bible are not stories. They are realities of different dispensations. They are realities of different generations. Don't think what they wrote about Daniel was a fairy tale. When you are promoted in government, there will be a gang up. You must pass through the lion's den. But when you enter there, make sure you are clothed. Because the reason why the king will bow to your God is because you will defy the lion. Make sure you carry the wisdom of the ancients. Because a day will come when a hand will write on the wall. They will bring questions concerning the job. They will bring questions concerning projects that certificates can work. Only those who can read, mene, mene. Take care of us. Those are the men that can stand in those days. Pray in tongues for 1 minute. Hallelujah. Hey, hey, hey. Hallelujah. Hey, hey, hey. Ragas karagatinos kavratai, freketalu ragabagadia tabaya, tando rabakastis. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, one of my disciples, before she met me, very prolific young lady, she organized a conference in England, invited 3 presidents, the chairman of World Bank. Prominent people. She had favor. She will write mails. And presidents with. You know what it means to move a president? She moved. What's the name now? The president of Ghana. Kufo Addo. Addo. Brought men like that. And then, few months later, few years later now, met Kamala Harris. The woman was blown away seeing her. Told the assistant, make sure I see her next week. That was the last time she saw power. The lady they told went and did whatever she did. You people, you don't know how this world is ruled. This lady tried everything to meet the US vice president, who was looking forward to seeing her. No way. They didn't just edge her out. When she eventually reached the woman didn't know her. Who are you? Where are you from? You know those, they are fake smile. And what? You don't know this realm. Do you know this lady eventually organized another conference? Top business directors. 1 week or 2 weeks to program. The government came up with some funny talks. Whether she didn't have which number, she should go back to the UK and bring which document so they will use to trace. She traced it. When she met us, I said, no, what's happening is not for scholars. It's for priests. Your priesthood did not have the power to sustain the throne that God gave you. We are talking authority. Sit down. Let me explain some things. If I go like this, we'll break into power. You can't learn what I want to share. Let me break down. I'll step down again. They are cadres of the operation of authority. Authority itself is in cadres. From exousia, representing Jesus, to alke, being first in rank, to kuriotes, being a ruler or one who establishes government, then to basileus, one who carries the aura, the influence, the honor of a monarch. Then in the operation of authority, there are levels. The first level is what we call the believer's authority. How much you wield these four cadres of authority depends on how you maximize these operations. Number two is the priesthood authority or the priestly authority. Number three is the kingly authority. Number four is the ministerial authority. These four channels of authority, you must harness them. The Bible said in John 1:12, as many as believed, to them he gave the authority to become the sons of God. Believers' authority. 1 Peter 2:9, Revelations 1:5, Revelations 5:20. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, God's own special people, called forth, that you may show forth the praises of him that called you out of darkness into light, unto him that washed us and made us kings and priests unto God. Priestly authority, kingly authority, and then ministerial authority. Ephesians 4:11, he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints. You may not be an apostle in the sense that you are given ecclesiastical ordination, but remember, you must be a believer, a priest, and a king. So let's examine the believer's authority a bit deeper. The believer's authority is what we call sonship authority. It's authority given to you because you are a son of God. Listen, tonight, I'm not on... Relax. I don't want to break into anything strong so that I don't teach. I want you to get these things in their most basic fashion so that you can apply it. We have too many believers who can't take anywhere for God. The early church persecution scattered them. They started taking territories. Philip was not sent to Samaria. Persecution took him there. But in a matter of time, he took Samaria. So persecution became a blessing because everybody going had rank. Today you send a pastor, one that you should have trained and commissioned. He says it's hard ground. Meanwhile, the city Philip went to, there was a sorcerer that bewitched the whole city. Philip dethroned him. He said he preached Christ there. The city was full of joy. Cast out devils and lambs were walking. The whole city came to him. That was an usher. Can we mobilize any usher from here to Lokogoma? How many pastors can take Lokogoma? So we need to examine the Bible again. Romans 15:4 said, the things that were written aforetime, they were written for our learning, so that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. Every believer has authority. It's called sonship authority. John 1:12, as many as believed, to them he gave authority to become the sons of God. Glory to God. Now, what is the scope of the believer's authority? So you know where to exercise it. Number one, the believer's authority is for every believer, not for special believers. As many as believed. They gave the what? Authority. So it's for every believer. When I cast out devils, I'm not casting out devils because I'm an apostle. I'm casting out devils because I'm a believer and I'm using the name of Jesus. That's the foundation. It's for all of us. When you find some excelling it, is because they have developed it. In our generation, we are so few that some ministries that press so much in this dimension have to become deliverance ministries. In the New Testament, such a thing shouldn't exist. All of us are agents of deliverance. In salvation, we were all delivered and we were commissioned to be agents of deliverance. Imagine if all of us were casting out devils. You won't need to go and line up in one church. Some ministries are healing ministries. All of us are supposed to be workers of miracles. Imagine if all of us were working. Before they gather enough for the preacher to meet them, all the ushers have cleansed them. Imagine if 30 people are coming for miracle service and every usher they met, they got healed. If pastor preach and pray and nobody is healed because they all came healed. The next miracle service, nobody is healed. The next one, then we stop the miracle service. No need again. Because everybody who came was healed at the door. Imagine if you say deliverance. Every devil here, now. And everybody, all the devils were cast out before they enter. Because every usher was a caster. A demon caster. There will be no need. Now, I'm not saying they shouldn't be there. They are there out of necessity. But I'm saying we must wake up. So, the authority is for what? All of us. John 1:12. Matthew 28 verse 18. All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. You who believe, go in that power. That's exousia. Silence that young man there. Wait for your time. Glory to God. Number two, scope of authority is authority over sin, over Satan, over demonic forces, and over death. Authority over what? Sin, over Satan, over demonic forces, and over death. Every believer. Carry that man out. Let him connect from behind. Every believer has what? Authority over sin, over Satan, over demonic forces, and over death. So everywhere you come to, and there are demons, it's your time to manifest. Everywhere you come to, and there is sin, it's your time to manifest. Now let me show you. Paul was speaking in Romans chapter 8. From verse 1 to verse 2, he showed us the believer's authority over sin. In fact, in Romans 6:11, he mentioned first. He says, sin shall no longer have dominion over you. Because now you have authority over sin. But he now went further. Now verse 14, Romans 6:14. Please, let's get the scriptures right. So that you can study later. For sin shall know what? Have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. Then he went to verse 8, chapter 8, verse 1, and showed us the dynamics. In fact, it's from chapter 7, verse 20, to chapter 8, verse 2. You project it. Let's read it. I'm showing you the scope of your authority. It's not just demons. You have power now to exist and live above sin. Do we have a NKJV? I don't want, I would, I had, I might. Thou art. If you don't have KJV, give me NIV. Oh, no, NIV, they omitted something, Romans 8:1. Do we have it? He said, now, if I do what I will not to do, let's manage. It is no longer I who do it, but sin that what? Do dwelleth in me. Now, he said before that we what? Sin should not have dominion over us. Go further. Now, I find then a law that evil is present with me. The one who wills to do good. There is a law that makes evil to be within, even though he wants to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. You are going to see three laws at work here. Next verse. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. So you hear the law of God, and you hear what? The law of my mind. He's going to call that law the law of sin and death, as you read further. He said, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, which is the law of God now, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin and death. So the law of the mind is the law of God. That's the law that made him desire to do good. But there's another law that puts him in captivity, which is the law of sin and death. So Paul is saying, before I got born again, these two laws were in me. There is the law of God, or the law of the mind, that makes me desire good. But there is a law that always subjugates that law. Because of my flesh, the law of sin and death immobilizes the law of God. So even though I want to do good, I can't. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me? Paul struggled like every one of us. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Then he went to chapter. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, and with the flesh, I serve the law of sin. So he showed us two laws. Go to chapter 8, verse 1. He now told us a third law was introduced when he got born again. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the law, after the flesh, but after the spirit. Next verse. For the law of the spirit of life, that's sonship. The law of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus has done what? Set me free from the law of sin and death. So the law of God influences your mind to want to do good. The law of sin and death activates your flesh, overriding the law of God. So you find yourself doing evil. But when you came into Christ, the law of the spirit of life empowered you to walk in the spirit, mortifying flesh and therefore killing the law of sin and death. So what Paul is telling us here is that anybody who is born again, the law of life destroys the law of sin and death so that the law of God can find expression. This is why Paul said, sin cannot have dominion over you. So if you want to live above sin, what do you do? Walk in the spirit. The Bible said if you walk in the spirit, you will not fulfill the desire of the flesh. So the second scope of the authority of the believer is authority over sin. And not just over sin, but over devils. Mark 16:17. These signs follow them that what? Believe. Not apostles. In my name shall they cast out what? Devils. So dominion over sin, dominion over devils, and then dominion over death. Hebrews 2:14-15. For as much then as the children were partakers of flesh and blood, himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power over death. That is the devil. He might destroy him. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So we have been delivered from the power of death. That's why Jesus speaking in John 11:25-26. He said, whoever believeth in me, not everybody, whoever believeth on me, he said, shall never die. And he said, even if he were dead, he will live again. So the believer has authority over sin. Listen. Don't tell yourself, I'm helpless. There's nothing I can do. There is something you can do. Walk in the spirit. Don't tell yourself, these demons are too strong. No, they are not, you have authority over them in the name of Jesus. Don't tell yourself, oh, all of us, we die. We don't have hope. No. We don't die. We transit to glory. If the absence from the body is presence with the Lord. We have an eternity with God. It's a dominion. It's an authority. Number three, scope of the believer's authority is authority in the earth and in the second heavens. If you know these things, you may need to meditate on this message again to get it. Genesis 1:28, and God blessed them. And God said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it. Replenish what? The earth. Subdue it. Have dominion. Now remember, the earth is in bondage. The Bible said in Romans 8:19, the earnest expectation of creation waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Do you know why people farm and they struggle? It's not just that manure is not working. The earth is in bondage. You must understand that your authority is not just demons. Your farm will work. Your livestock will produce. That's what it means. It's authority. Your business will function. So long as it's earthy, you have authority there. See, some people don't know. That's why they are religious, even when they are demonstrating power. They think this subject is just about casting out one or two demons. No. Those of you who follow the prayer watches, somebody testified last month, farm, that they were putting everything that was not working. We made the declaration. Suddenly, crops began to blossom. Because we came here to free creation from bondage. Do you know that Satan uses creation and the earth to oppress people? Some charms that they do, they fetch water from the Indian Ocean at some particular time. They are herbs that only become visible at 12 midnight. The herbalist will trace it until he gets it. And they pound it inside, all they pound it, chant incantation, and blow it. Somebody's money begins to vanish. He makes 10 million, he can't account for it. They use creation to put him in bondage. Because creation is in bondage. But when you have authority, when they put the water in the pot and they call you, your face won't appear there. It's thunder that will appear. It's authority. You can't use creation to hurt me. I am Lord over creation. I represent Jesus here. Some of us, you can't put charm on kola nut and say, take. No, I don't eat it. But if I do, I will chew it. Nothing will happen. Nothing on earth can be used against me. I understand it. It's authority. If you like, they will tie goat and chant incantation and they will break the leg. Your leg will break. Not my own. If you break that leg, it's you who broke it that will break. If whoever diggeth a pit shall fall in. Which leg? Me. This leg? You break a goat's leg. This one break? No way, sir. The leg will walk until I'm 85. You don't know what is happening. Which break where? That goat cannot be used to get me. I have authority over creation. Know these things. Oh, some of you, they say they tied you to a tree. They nailed you. Carry my picture. Go and nail it there. You thought I would be stagnated. I will become older than that tree. I will draw life out of the tree. If the tree was 90, I will be 95. You don't stop us, sir. You know why? As the wind bloweth. Thou listest not from whence it goeth or whence it cometh. So are they that are what? Born of the Spirit. You go call my name in a shrine. See the fire that appears. He maketh his angels spirits. But his ministers, they are what? Flames of fire. I'm a flame, sir. You want to stop me? Close every door. I don't need the door to open. When you enter, I enter with you. So long as you breathe there, If wind comes out, I'm there. Authority. Understand this. Your Christianity will change. We are not inviting people to join a religion. Christianity is divinity expressed through humanity. Scope over nature. Hey! Even if I stop here, some people will rise from here and take their word. Somebody told me they have to go and fetch sand from my father's village. What they are seeing? I said, this body you are seeing, this is earth. This is superior earth. This original earth. You fetch sand where? You know the sand that is here? This one is not just sand. It's sand that holds Ruach. He said he coupled the man from the dust, breathed into his nostrils. The man became, this is a Ruach HaKodesh, custodian of sand. They're talking, which sand? Fetch sand from where? That means I will give the potential of my destiny to my father's compound. Now, I'm not saying these things are not real, though. Don't get me wrong. The higher your revelation, the higher your manifestation. There was a time when I was praying, the Holy Ghost took me to that compound, showed me some princes, and told me what not to do. But there was another time when the vision was not necessary. I caught something from the word, and heaven and earth will pass away. Not one jot or tittle of the word will pass away. When I didn't catch it from the word, the Holy Ghost used visions to educate me. Now that I have the word, him that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. You can't touch God, you can't touch me. Scope. Finally, what's the scope of your authority? Is the ability to change sickness or sicknesses and circumstances. When things go wrong, you have authority to change it. This is why I told you, instead of lamenting, where is God? You don't know what the angels are saying. They are saying, where are you? Because the angels know God shouldn't be there. You are the one to be there. From the beginning, God didn't plan to live here. You are the one living here. So if I go to your house and things are going wrong, and then I come and squat and I start shouting somebody else's name, is it the person's house? The heavens belong to God. Everything in heaven is in order. The earth belongs to the sons of men. You are the one to create change here. It's not God. When you are overwhelmed, call him, he will intervene. But he has given you the authority to create change. So when things are not working, talk. When things are not working, act. That's why you are here. If I sent you to an occasion to represent me, and every 2 minutes you call me, Apostle, this one is happening now. Should we? If you call the third time, I'll say, Kai, I sent the wrong person. Come back. If I need to be responding every second, why did I send you? I should have gone. Meanwhile, you are here. Rat, run past your bedroom. You say, God Almighty, there's a rat here. A rat? Why are you there? Kill it now. Which one is a rat here? Meanwhile, we are living like that. We think we are spiritual. It's babyhood Christianity. Authority. Create change. You enter your home, people are dying. Stand up and say, I stand as a child of God. In the name of Jesus, I speak to you, death, be banished. I break this cycle of death. And when you speak, watch it in prayer. Until that cycle stops, don't stop. Nobody graduates from the university. Tell yourself, I will graduate. And when I graduate, the least we have masters. Nobody succeeds in ministry. That's why you are there. Raise a prophet by words. The Bible says, carry with you wars. Wars. Don't cry. Don't lament. Moses sent spies to survey the promised land. 10 came crying. God called them.
an evil generation. They say, the people are like giants. We are like grasshopper. How about the grace of God on your life? Why are you seeing giants and you are not seeing grace? God said, that's an evil heart. And because you have said you are like grasshoppers, you will perish in the wilderness. Only two rose up, Joshua and Caleb. And they were the ones who made it to the promised land. Scope of authority. Understand it. Is for everybody. Number two, is over sin, over Satan, over demonic forces and over death. Number three, is over the earth and the second heavens. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. And then number four, is over sicknesses and circumstances. Never use your mouth to confirm your defeat. Oh, it's over. Oh, I'm finished. Men of authority don't talk like that. Because we know when we speak, we release power. Number two, what's the requirement for functioning in the believer's authority? I will speed up now because of time. Number one is the new birth. You cannot enter the believer's authority except as you are what? Born again. I quoted already John 1:12. As many as believed him, to them he gave the authority to become the sons of God. Colossians 1:13. If you read from 12, it said, giving thanks to the Father who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, having translated us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the what? Glorious kingdom of his dear son. So the new birth is the foundation of the believer's authority. Now, why is this important? So that when you stand before circumstances, when you stand before demons, you need to know where your mind should go to legitimize your attempt to use authority. Those who don't understand the requirements for authority, when they want to use it, they don't know the basis. And because they don't know the basis, when they start meeting resistances, fear rises up in them. If I know that the new birth is what confers authority, nothing a demon does that will scare me. Because I know why I have authority over him. I'm born of God. This is why we explain it the way we do. Number two, what is the requirement for believers' authority? Faith in the finished works of Christ. Because it was Christ who defeated Satan. And your coming to so pretend over Satan is on the premise that he's defeated. The Bible said in Colossians 1 verse 14. Or Colossians 2:14 now. Let's take that. It said, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, he took it out, nailing it to his cross. Then verse 15, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a public show of them, triumphing over them by it. That's the cross. In John 16:33, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So when I stand before a demon, number two, why am I bold to exercise authority? Jesus has handled it. He is the conqueror. I am more than a conqueror. I came to take the winning belt. Many people can't cast out demons because when they stand there, their minds begin to fluctuate. Many people can't change circumstances because when they stand there, their minds, they are fluctuating. Will it happen? Because they don't know the basis. That's why they don't walk in authority. When you find a bold man, there is something he knows. Knowledge and revelation imparted that boldness. Number three, requirement for authority is the knowledge of your identity in Christ. the knowledge of who you are in Christ. Why do you think I refuted the prophet? He showed up and said, listen, where we come from? I said, where do you know where I come from? Who are we? I don't know where you are born. Which one is where we come from? I come from the womb of the Holy Spirit. I don't know what you are talking about. I come from the resurrection. I began after Christ rose from the dead. So what do you mean where we come from? I know I have some little connection with Otukpa, but Oga, this man standing here came from the resurrected Christ. Which one is where we came from? Who is we? You know, most of you generalize yourself with people. That's why you have their result. The other one saw me one day and said, well, you know, we are Nigerians. I said, "Nai what? I'm an ambassador of heaven to Nigeria. I am of heaven. Nai what? Nigeria that they gave boundary to, a woman picked the name from Philippian Niger. And you use that to define my... Now, I'm a patriotic citizen. Don't get me wrong. I flag the Nigerian flag everywhere I go to. But man, if it has to do with ordination, I came before the foundation of the world. So when they reject Nigerians, they will reject me. When they oppress Nigerians, they will oppress me. Any day, any time, I will stand for Nigerians as a patriotic person. But hey, I come from Zion. Come from Zion. You know the problem with most of us? We want to wield the authority of heaven, but we have defined ourselves as earthly men. You stand, you say, I'm from Imo State. Do you know what? You know us. So go and use the authority of Imo. Don't come and call heaven. I'm from Benue. We are warriors. Go back, get the bows and arrows of Benue people. Don't hope that any angel will come when you summon heaven. Since you are only from Benue. I'm not saying deny your nativity in the flesh. But I'm saying don't let it define your destiny. Know who you are in Christ. Can I tell you some? I tell you two or three quickly. Number one, you are a son. And as a son, you are an inheritor of the wealth of God. Romans 8:17 said, if we are children, then we are heirs, and heirs of God. It's on the basis of that partnership that we are willing to suffer with Him for the glory. So understand it, you are a son. You are born of God. God is your father. You don't only have a biological father. So when I approach God, I'm not going as a beggar. The Bible said, come boldly before the throne of grace. Do you know what God did? He didn't make you a son by privilege. He made you a son by right. As many as believe, to them, He gave the right. Otherwise, Satan will challenge your sonship. If God came, brought you as a son out of sympathy, you can't deal with Satan. Satan will say, you don't have God's DNA. You are not a child of God. You were pitied into God's kingdom. But glory to God, we were not pitied into the kingdom. We were legitimized into the kingdom. You are a son of God. That's why you can use the resources of God. I don't beg to use the name of Jesus. I don't beg to walk in the anointing. I don't beg to deploy grace. Reverently, yes, but audaciously, why not? And you are not just a son, you are a king. He made you a king. And He said, where the word of the king is, there is power. Revelations 1:6, Ecclesiastes 8:4, you are a king. So when I'm talking as one who carries government. And you are not just a king, you are a priest. You know what it means? I bridge heaven and earth. I have the authority to connect heaven to earth. So when I come to a place, I am conscious that heaven is there. I don't need to have a feeling to know God's presence is there. You don't feel God's presence. You know God's presence. Once in a while, it may affect your feeling, but it's not a feeling, it's a knowing. I have it. I'm a priest. I bridge heaven and earth. And that's not all. I'm an ambassador of heaven. Paul said, Romans 5:20, now are we the ambassadors of God. So when I come to a place, I bring God's embassy. You don't touch an ambassador, you'll trigger war. Because an ambassador functions by bilateral agreement. Anywhere an ambassador is standing is his country. Where he lives in a foreign country is his country. And I'm not just an ambassador, I'm a witness. That means I'm a proof producer. Everything God claims is possible. He manifests it through scriptures and through me. So when I come to a place, I expect that things should happen. It is in my nature to produce divine proofs. Jesus said, you shall be witnesses unto me. In Jerusalem, in Judea, in the uttermost part of the earth. If you say God favors men, when I come, you will see favor. If you say God blesses men, when I come, you will see blessings. If you say God heals men, when I come, you will see healing. It's not because I did a ritual. I am a witness. I am the exhibit that God presents in court to win his case. I am faithful. How do you mean? Look at Mike. And I come with humility. You know, it's not by power. It's not by might, it's by the mercies of God. That's why people will be angry. There's nothing they can do about it. You are a witness. It's your DNA to witness. It's your DNA to produce proof. If you don't know this, see, you will pray and sweat. Your trophy of prayer will be sweat. Meanwhile, those who know it, of course they will pray, of course they will fast, but they will ascend. Because they are praying with a consciousness. They are praying as kings. They are praying as priests. They are praying as ambassadors. They are praying as proof producers. When I entered France, I said, what are the governmental structures here? I need to go to the gate and legislate. A prince has entered the land. I'm not a tourist. They said, there's the Eiffel Tower. There's the government house. I said, let's go there. I went there. There were many tourists. They sat on the ground playing. I told the people, give me some time. I started walking around and invoking prophecies. The territory needs to know that somebody passed. So an ambassador passed. A witness. I went and stood and faced the government house and spoke words. Spoke words. It may look tiny, but it will add up to the corporate witness of priests in that territory. I've left my own witness there. It's a consciousness. That's why when we enter a nation, we know we can't struggle. No, sir. We cannot struggle. When we enter as ambassadors. Ambassadors. It's not because we are popular. No. How much popularity do we have? It's influence with God. Because you know who you are. Everybody who we walk in the believer's authority must have a healthy understanding of his identity. The problem with most of us is that we only know who we are in the flesh. And so when we confront spirits that are not flesh, we become stranded. The way I've seen you, you are full now. I will stop here. I don't want you to have constipation. You can't take more. But don't go and enter a problem that the last three that you should have known is what you need. You know, in the early church, they taught for hours. Even when you are tired, stay there. Eutychus fell down, died. They went down, brought him up. Oh God, stay here. Why men slept, Satan sold. Is it God that canceled? If you want to sleep, be sleeping. It will be entering you because the word is spirit and life, radiation. Many people, they are listening to my message, they sleep, then the message continues in their dream. But this time as animation. One brother said he has never seen an angel, but he was listening to me and I was talking about the angelic realm. He said everything I was saying became picture. That was his way of seeing angels. But understand this. You have authority as a believer. First, because of your new birth. Secondly, because of your faith in the finished works of Christ. Thirdly, is because of the knowledge of your identity. Fourthly, is because of the weapons you use. The name of Jesus paramount amongst them. Mark 16:17. In my name, cast out devils. There's a level you get to that the tangibility of God's presence on your life will become strong. That when you show up, demons will flee. But if you have not gotten there, use the name. Until now, you have asked for nothing. John 16:23-24. Ask that you might receive, that your joy might be complete. For whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will do for you. So you have authority because of what you use. The name of Jesus, chiefest amongst them. Number 5. What confers the believer's authority? Submission to God. I quoted already 2 Corinthians 10:6. When your obedience is complete, then you walk or you avenge every other disobedience. If you want to walk in the believer's authority, you must learn to obey the word. You must learn to obey the Holy Spirit. There are many Christians. They know everything about the finished works of Christ. They believe it. They know who they are in Christ. Before you cough, they say, I know who I am. But when they meet a demon, they are helpless. Because of disobedience. The Holy Ghost speaks, they don't respond. They see the word of God. They understand what he says. But they say, Kai, this one is hard. And because the word becomes hard, their lives also become hard. Finally, how do you walk in the believer's authority? By adopting a righteous lifestyle. We are called the righteousness of God, and we are also declared to walk in righteousness. The just shall live by faith, and herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Romans 1:17. So you adopt a life of righteousness. Don't live carelessly and then you are shocked. You are shouting the name of Jesus and the demon ends up slapping you. I told you our story in the field. A tiny young lady was demonized. We went to cast the demons out. We were young ministers learning the ways of the Spirit. So, usually when we come, we take some time to pray in tongues to understand the direction to go. This giant came. Make una come out. He grabbed the lady. It's not power and might. Know your authority. As he held the lady, he wanted to ask, who are you? He heard on the cheek. The slap removed the character of the Holy Spirit from the brother. The brother slapped her back. Deliverance ended that day because we lost our God. We say, though we war in the flesh, we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the... He said, I beg. Why she go slap me like that? Demons are not... They don't have authority. They are powerful. But they don't have authority. So you don't contend with demons by power. You contend by authority. It's just like the traffic warden that stands before a trailer and just stretches his hands. If his power, the trailer will crush him. But he has authority. But you know, for him to walk in that authority, he must wear his uniform. If he wears uniform in the morning and stands and they stop, he comes back in the evening without uniform and does like this. He will understand that this is ritual. The next thing you will see is his obituary. will be crushed. Walk in righteousness. Many believers learn church language. Say in the name of, you know, those days we were studying after Kenneth E. Hagin. He said, when a demon is stubborn, ask the demon, what is thy name? And that was what happened with the madman of Gadara. When they respond, they lose their power. Oga came and said, who are you? They answered with a slap. That is who I am. I am a slapper. As we round up, Marakaburataya, Tehila Takota, Paragatina Sabak, you will leave this service as a prince of authority. For some of you, this is your inauguration into the realms of authority. You will stop the tyranny of Satan. You will stop the patterns of death. You will stop the patterns of backwardness. You will stop evil in your family, in your business, in the name of Jesus Christ. How do you release authority? Number one, through prophetic declarations. That you have it does not mean it's automatic. You release it through declaration. Job 22:28, thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto you. Mark 11:23, say to the mountain, be thou removed. This is why people of authority are careful when they talk, because they know talking is a channel of releasing authority. Decrees. This is why every service here does not end until we decree. When we decree things happen, we are releasing authority. Number two, how do you release authority? By a sustained consciousness that you have it. Philemon 1:6, that the communication of your faith becomes effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you. If you don't carry the consciousness that you have authority, you won't walk in authority. Most times, when we pray and fast, it's not because it increases our authority, it increases our consciousness. He said, if you say you are dead in Christ and your life is hid in God, he said, focus your affection on the things above. Colossians 3:1-3. You release authority through consciousness. I didn't know how to grow in this thing fast. We pray and fast, but we carry the consciousness of death. One day the Holy Ghost asked me, why do only the people you minister to get affected by the anointing? I didn't know the answer. He told me power travels through consciousness. That was why I knew why. I now realize why cameramen don't fall. He may stand near the person, but you are directing your focus. Your consciousness is transmitting power to a particular person, because the power of God is intelligent. When I now realize it, I started developing the consciousness to affect an auditorium. So when I come and I'm talking, I bring everybody under the radar. Now, I've grown it to a level where I can absorb those who are even connected online. And what I noticed is that the same thing that happens to those in the hall began to happen to those online, because I encapsulated them in my consciousness. If you don't have the consciousness that your authority can affect your career, affect your business, even the perimeter of your office, you may be a man of authority, but your territory will be submerged in darkness. You release authority through declarations. You release authority through consciousness. And finally, you release authority through acts of faith. Thou believest that there's only one God. He said, thou doest well. He said, the devil also believes and trembles. James 2:19-20. He said, O vain man, knoweth not thou that faith without works is dead? In verse 26, he said, as the body without the spirit is dead, he says, so also faith without works is dead. If you don't take action, authority will not respond. As powerful as the president is, until he speaks, or takes an action, the authority cannot be effected. On the day of his inauguration, he had not even reached his office. He said, subsidy is over. The whole country responded. When you talk, your authority is released. Imagine if he stood that day of his inauguration and did like this. All of us would have been on cruise boat. But he spoke. He said, subsidy is over. If you like, cry, it's over. Authority has been released. You are there. Demons are tormenting people in your house. You are weeping. You are weeping. Tears. Don't command authority. Rise up and begin to talk. Talk and stop the affliction. Talk and create the change. Talk and move people forward. That's how you release authority. You are not married. You are crying. God, look at me. He saw you before you started crying. You are saying the wrong thing. Every force stopping my marital settlement, every power, every spell, every declaration, I counter it in the name of Jesus. And I decree by this time next year, I'm in my husband's house. That's how you release authority. Ministry is not working. You are there asking questions. It's not questions that make it work. Enter the church when nobody is around. Be passing around praying in tongues. After a while, wars will come. Wars will come. We call it the Nabai order of the prophetic. It bubbles out of you like a fountain. And when wars begin to come, begin to declare, this ministry will speak to presidents. This ministry will raise warriors. This ministry will take nations. This ministry will lead this generation. As you are talking, you are shaping the lines. He said, when your heaven be full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. I realized I was the first prophet of my life. I went for prophetic meetings. Nobody gave me word. I sat in front. It didn't work. I jumped up. It didn't work. I looked at the prophet. They didn't see me. So I went back to scripture. Because the word of God is also prophetic. It is written. It is written. It is written. That's why I preach. I tell you, have you not read? That's where I got it from. When nobody will prophesy, I began to prophesy to myself. I told myself, we will shake this world. Today, we are shaking it. Nobody can stop you, but release your authority. You may be in the swampy area. Nobody knows you. I began from a place called Kasinala, local government in Benue State. Nobody knows there. It's not about where you are. What are you saying? Carry with you wars. Wars, wars. The Bible said the praises of your mouth is like the double-edged sword. Carry wars, carry wars. When you speak, things happen. When you speak, things change. Don't keep quiet. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Sereke Mirata. Now hear this. 2 minutes practical. Check your life. That area that is not working. That area that you have tried everything and is not working, lift it up now and change it. Stop what is not working and say what you want to see. Begin to declare. Takoparatoa. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. They can't up against you on your job. That's not an issue. He said, gather together, you will scatter. Take counsel together, it shall come to naught. Speak the word, it shall not stand. Our God is in our midst. He said, surely they shall gather. It's not by my consent. Every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, thou, Thou shalt condemn. Thou shalt decree a thing. It shall be established unto you. I, the Lord, I confirm the words of my servants. I perform the counsel of my messengers. Declare now, and you shall be established. He said, there is hope for a tree that is cut off. At the scent of water, it will sprout up again. Go ahead and prophesy. Elohim Adonai. We hail you. We worship you. We hail you. We hail you. We hail you. We worship you. We hail you. We hail you. God, is the Lamb of God who sits upon the throne. He alone. Is the Lamb of God. Be alone.
Circumstances change. Seasons end. Demons can be cast out. In this realm, nothing is permanent. You are the one who will decide whether it will be permanent or not. The realm was established upon the floods so that change will be possible. I speak over someone. Every area of stagnation in your life, I decree now, by the power of the name of Jesus and the authority of Scripture, it is terminated now. I declare over you, everything dying in your life, by the authority of the endless life, I command resurrection now. I declare over you, everything failing in your life, by the authority of the living word, I call it forth. I declare over you, every door shut against you, I come by the spirit of prophecy. Ephata! Ephata! Open now! In the name of Jesus Christ, I decree and declare, everywhere you have been rejected from by the mantle of Gideon, I call you forth. Ascend to higher ground. Ascend to higher ground. Ascend to higher ground. In the name of Jesus Christ, everywhere there is a gang up against you, I decree by the authority of the Lord of hosts, let them scatter now. Let them scatter now. Let them scatter now. Everywhere you have been measured, everywhere you have been sized up, I decree, come up hither. Come up hither. Come up hither. Ah! Be alone. The sister was testifying. She said, the prayer was not long. Long prayer does not equal authority. What's your revelation? What's your degree of submission? See, too much shrink. The dead comes back to life. Doors open that. There is restoration with God's children. Nothing is impossible. Everything that has been ascribed impossible in your life till now, I decree a reversal now. Lift your hands toward heaven. There are some of you that God wants to activate gifts. Because giftings are flavors. When you have authority and God wants to put flavor on it, it gives you a gift. So you can stand and you see. Oh, when you see, you cannot demonstrate. When Paul spoke of demonstration, there are abilities awoken. Men that have eyes to see. Men that have wings to fly. Oh. Men that can outrun chariots of kings. Gifted men. Gifted women. Out of my belly the flow rivers of living waters. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Out of my belly shall flow rivers. Your hands. Let's be quiet. Play the guitar. Play the keyboard. Oh my. Oh my. There are four gifts that the Holy Ghost is prompting my spirit that he wants to release. Number one is favor. This is the power that breaks protocols. A king can look at you and say, what do you want? I will give you. Before you answer, I said, even if it's half of my kingdom, the powers of favor, the powers, favor to break protocols. Ushers, bring them now. I release it upon you. Bring those under the unction. Seven. Let it flow. Some of you have struggled. Oh, you have worked hard, but you are toiling. I knew a friend many years ago. When we are done teaching, he will have four or five home lessons. And then he carried a bag that was heavy, as though he put irons inside. Books that he wrote, nobody will buy. He's almost bent because of weight. The race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. Bread is not to men of skill. No, no, no. There are forces beyond strength. Favor, favor, favor. Let the fragrance, the atmosphere, the oil of favor, let it rub off on you now. Take! The second gift God is giving is wisdom. Wisdom. Know what you don't read. Get the answer at the Kairos moment. Take the right step at the right time. It's the gift of precision. Wherever you are standing now, as it was upon Joseph, as it was upon Solomon, as it was upon Christ, as it is for the believer, take, take, take. Barakatonaya. The Lekadu Tahavedakaya. Berabwana Tatele. Tatele Tatele. Safina Kaya. Oh Barakatwa. Ziza Zafiza. Etegabarua Takabina Tai. Wise men of Shiloh. Men of understanding. Sons of Isaac.
of Isaac. Men that know times. Men that understand seasons. You know what Israel ought to do. Now ascend your throne of power. Perino Kambala Pita. Zadada Kora Makaduta. Ila. Ila. Baide. Tahiro. Parakina. Sabanda Kata.
Number three is inspiration. Please, if you can, be quiet. I'm sensing an angelic strength. This is inspiration for productivity and wealth creation. Oh, God wants to raise people. You know? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I don't have time to complete the statement, so I'll keep quiet. But there is, it's going to flow like a fountain. From your head, through your body, down, you will be drenched. Inspiration, access the portals of secrets, the portals of mysteries, the portals, the channels, pathways through which angelic entities traverse heaven and earth. Men are being sucked wherever you are standing. Oh, this is where they get power to get wealth. Now. Let that oil, let it drop. Inside, outside, online. Oh, there are 14 of you. World creators. Wherever you are standing. 1, 2, 3. Back! Oh. Somebody will hear a shout in the spirit. It's like an echo from another dispensation. It's like an echo from another realm. The gates are open. The doors are open. The windows are open. The portals. Let there be angelic interaction. Realms of Mahanai. Oneness in the spirit. Combatants of spirit. Combatants. Karo Takamina.
Oh, when you live here, fast for 3 days. When you live here, go to an orphanage. God will be showing you pictures. You will sponsor crusades. Build a church for me. You are hearing things. I'm sensing movements. Men have been carried. And some of these beings that came, they came with energy. They will dematerialize tumors. They will rebuke things from your body. Pains will go. Arthritis. Bone conditions. You will walk out. It will look like you came from a factory where you were restructured. Those of you who are lawyers, lift your hands toward heaven. I'm seeing God increase rank. Oh, the night of ranking. We are not the same in the kingdom. There are those who run, there are those who fly. Ranking in the spirit. Let the oil that gives power for legislation, for litigation, for influence in those corridors. Let it drop now. Touch! Holy, holy, are you Lord? Holy, 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 are you Lord?
finally, is the grace for speed. Oh man. Some of you, before this year is over, you will cover a mileage that is equivalent to 10 years. Just lift your hands and close your eyes. Surrender to Him. The wind of the Spirit will pass here. He said the hand of God was upon Elijah. For some of you, it's your ministry. For some of you, it's your business. For some of you, it's your career. For some of you, it's your academics. For some of you, it's your relationship. Now, take! Reaction, but I don't want to start saying them. It will start happening. Somebody's feet are set on fire. Literally. Set on fire. You can't even stand. Oh my God. It's about to become chaotic. Somebody's like a garment of fire came upon you. Protocols are breaking. They are breaking. It will move you from where you are. Now, the wind of the Spirit. Let it blow over you.
The redeemed worship you now. Holy, holy, holy.
There's a prayer God wants us to pray now. Just place your right hand on your chest. Say, Jesus, you are my Lord. Use me for your glory. Just pray that prayer sincerely. If you are distracted, close your eyes. Something like a mantle will fall on some of you. Use me for your glory. I surrender. I surrender. Please help those God is touching. It's coming like a fiery flame. Help that sister so she's not injured.
Holy, holy, holy.
Telling me somebody needs to be mantled with strength. Oh, what you are going through, if you are not empowered, you will break. Ah, this person is walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Shadow of death. I release the grace for strength. Let the spirit of might come upon you now. Let the spirit of might come upon you now. In the name of Jesus Christ. You had an organ disease, organ infection, or a tumor. Go and check it. By the time you return next week, the tumor has dematerialized. And then long-standing infirmities, arthritis, infections, you are being cleansed. Remember to testify. In His presence on holy ground.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055. +233 26 767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.